Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, it's a Monday afternoon, and we are kind of just getting started here because there's so much going on, especially with the Middle East peace deal. We will have Paul Morrow weigh in on that and a whole lot more from theopsnest.org at 4:30. Lots of sports to talk about with Cusumano. Fred, did you watch the Mizzou game or were you otherwise
I watched
busy?
It.
You were watching
yeah.
it, yeah. Yeah, just a big
up until that final
bummer.
Interception.
I
yeah.
know, but opportunities existed. There's no doubt about that. Then Illinois didn't win either over the weekend. It was an interesting college football weekend, and there were plenty of upsets. And Mizzou hung tight, at least. You know, they weren't embarrassed by any stretch. I just want to share with you, so I was at the game on Saturday. And again, thanks to my friend Larry, who offered me a ticket. I was there with Larry and Bev, who went on the Grease trip with me, which was awesome. So because of the 11 o'clock start time, I had this friend who was in town, I think I told you, from Cleveland, my dear right. friend Art Karam. So we went to Rosalita's for dinner on Saturday night. I got back a pretty good time. We met for dinner and had a good time. And then as I, you know, got home, you guys are probably lucky to have me here today.
Oh, no.
Because not only do I survive almost, oh yeah, you laugh, Sue, almost getting taken out by a St. Louis City bus a couple of weeks ago upon leaving the station. That was harrowing enough. But on Saturday night, upon returning home, I was almost taken out viciously by an armadillo that was in my
okay, wait a minute. Is that a cat or an armadillo that I'm hearing?
That's an armadillo.
Oh,
Ethan tells me that's an armadillo. That what?
Well, that is scary.
I don't. That is scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So true story though. So I get home and Becky notices, and it was a little cute little baby guy. It wasn't a big armadillo at all. But yeah. I've told you what's been happening. So my winterization of the irrigation system just happened, which means I can no longer use my irrigation. Right? It's shut down for the winter. But because the temperature's been cool and I watered up until last week, my lawn is in really good shape. My neighbor's lawn, they have irrigation in good shape. Actually, most of them are in pretty good shape right now. But the difference is, the woods are dry, right? So these armadillos, they're looking for food sources. And I noticed this either last year or the year before they came down. It looks like they're putting little alien holes into your mulch, into your grass, because they're digging down trying to find worms and grubs and stuff like that. So this little guy was right in between my neighbor Jason's lawn and mine. And I walked up to it. I'll show you the video that I took. It was dark.
Ooh, I don't know
and,
if I want to see it.
Well, so no.
Not after that noise.
I know, right? But I wasn't sure because all it is, and I'm about... Fred, I was about as far away to the armadillo as I am from you right
so
now.
6 feet.
About 6 feet, right. I honestly did not know if it could hurt you. Like, it just seemed...
That's a good question.
So he froze, he or she, I don't want to misgender the armadillo, okay? Just want to make that clear. Froze, and I'm taking my video, but the same time I'm taking my video, I'm thinking, do these things bite or what do they do? Now, somebody told me, I had a friend of mine that said that they can scratch you. And that could be bad. I don't know if they carry rabies or something like that. But he just sort of played, believe it or not, in my opinion, the armadillo played possum. So he didn't move at all. And then as soon as I took a couple of steps away, he started hopping into the backyard. He kind of hopped. It wasn't even a walk. It was
so
like
he
boom, boom, boom.
He didn't come at you.
No.
He played dead and ran away.
Yes, yes, the other
way. Well, I can see how that's harrowing.
It was harrowing, yes. Sue. I mean, I was eye to eye and face to face with danger. It was so close. I didn't know what was going to happen. And luckily, I survived the attack. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that this afternoon.
Apparently, according to the internet and AI, which, as we all know, never lies, they scratch.
Yeah.
So they have small teeth and generally avoid biting, but could scratch you.
Well, that's what my friend Sally told me. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. But I was trying to get, you'll see the video. It's dark. So I was trying to get as close to him as I possibly could just to see the video because, you know, he was kind of tiny. Here, I'll play it to you right here. You can kind of see. You see him in the middle of the lawn there?
Yeah. Oh, hi.
So he's just a little guy there, Fred, sitting in the middle of the grass, right? Just trying to find some dinner or something like that. At one point, he kind of does lift up his head, and he looks toward me, but he's not scared or anything. And I wasn't, you know, trying to get too close. I was trying to do it. I was trying to be respectful to the vicious animal that almost attacked
me. Like you
do. I don't know if that was more harrowing or finding this out this afternoon. Maybe I'm not reading enough Us magazine or something like that. And I do think I heard a reference to this in the news, and maybe you guys mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but Katy Perry is dating Justin Trudeau, the former Canadian prime minister. And there were shots that get out from the paparazzi over the weekend where Justin's getting pretty handsy with Katy, who's in a bikini.
It just kind of grossed me out.
Because of him or because of her?
I think because of him.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's all the more reason for higher tariffs.
I agree with you, Fred. Look, I kind of like Katy Perry's music. I do. I'm sure I don't like her politics, but I, you know, took my daughter to see the residency my wife and I did a couple years ago. It was really good. She's entertaining. I liked her on American Idol. She just has terrible taste in men.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you can say. She did date John Mayer for a while, so I'll give her that one. But Justin Trudeau, yeah. That's what I would say, too.
I didn't know how to put that in Sue's News because that would have been it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then let me just say this, too, because there was one other topic. So, you know, my daughter is involved in sports, and I've spoken to you about volleyball and kids volleyball in the past. And
rotating problems.
I love this.
Right. There's been an evolution, though, in the kids volleyball game. There really has. Because, you know, this goes back a couple of months now. She's been playing. She played last year as well. But remember what I said is that these kids, and now she's 10. Most of these kids are, you know, like 9, 10, 11. When they lose the side out, they just kind of freeze. They don't really go into, and they've known this for a while, though, that you're supposed to rotate, and then the person in the right corner goes back to the, I think the right corner goes back to serve, right? They don't go back to the middle. The middle goes back to the left corner. So, but look, I was impressed. I hadn't been to a volleyball game in a couple of weeks. I went to the game on Saturday. I took my daughter. I let Becky have a little time at home because she was trying to catch up on some things. And not only did they win 2 out of 3. Ooh. My daughter actually played very well, but they've learned how to rotate a little. It is interesting because you see, I can visually see this very team that I've watched for 2 months now, how much better they've gotten in that time period. Like, because when you're just starting, this was the deal last year when she first played, and parents know this. It's just if you get the ball over the net, you get a point, and that's pretty much it. No one's making any returns whatsoever. So if you serve, and they only let you go 5 points, right? So if you're serving and then you, and this happened a couple times yesterday, you're good enough to get 5 points, right? Then the ball goes to the other side to kind of keep it fair.
Well,
No, I like
that. At that age, is it still underhand serving or are they overhand?
Fred, yesterday was all underhand, but we have played, she's played a team where some of the girls were doing overhand.
Dang.
And Alexa's practicing overhand right now. Oh. So, like, we were out in the front yard the other day, and she's, you know, I was throwing her the ball, and she's trying to do overhand, which is a little bit tougher. But, believe it or not, some of these kids, they start, you know, early. Her deal is, like, my daughter's deal is she just doesn't, in the past, she's not super tuned into paying attention or being ready or, this will sound like a pretty...
Like a kid?
Yeah. But, hey, be ready. The ball might... another thing the coaches say, hey, call for it, right? So there's one kid on the other team yesterday. She hit the ball, and then she said, mine. Boom, mine.
That's
good.
Okay.
Hey, A for effort. You're supposed to do
right.
that. But I heard Alexa say mine, and then she hit the ball over there. And I'm like, holy cow, what happened to her? So there is progress.
Love it.
I think there's progress.
I think that's great.
I think we're getting now to the time of the season where things lock down, and then you go into the next transition. I have no idea what's ahead of us. I don't know if it's volleyball or soccer. soccer or anything else.
When does swimming come into this?
Well, so that might be in play this winter because she has some friends that are interested, and it keeps her in really good physical condition. So I'd like for her to do some swimming because she can still do that with Rockwood. But yeah, that's a good question. Look, Fred, we're just trying to survive armadillo attacks at my house, okay? We got a lot of things that are before us right now. All right, we got Paul Morrow coming up. He's going to have some things to say about Letitia James and her indictment, the ICE attacks that have been going on. I'm sure he'll weigh in on Gaza and a few other things. Cusumano at 4:48. Sean Spicer coming up after 5 o'clock. He hosts the Sean Spicer Show, available where you listen to your podcast. John O'Leary on his new film, Soul on Fire, based on his life. He was supposed to be with us on Friday, had some travel issues that came up, but he's going to make good for that here this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. Sue's News is coming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Morrow coming up at the bottom of the hour. Frank Cusumano right after that. Right now, it's Monday. Let's do this. Oh, that's the wrong one again. I keep doing that where I hit the wrong one.
Well, oh.
Hey, let's do this again here. Hey, Monday afternoon on the Mark Bearden Show. Time to do this, ladies and gentlemen.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
It's Columbus Day, Fred.
All right.
The White House has issued a Columbus Day statement calling him the original American hero. Meanwhile, a replica of Columbus's main ship, the Santa Maria, sank off the coast of Mexico on Friday. Did you know this?
Oh, my gosh.
No. I didn't know anything about
that's
it. I read it this
timing,
morning.
Right?
I thought, well, that's something. It was a hot attraction for tourists for about 30 years, they say. It launched in 1992 for the 500th anniversary of the Columbus trip, and it was based on his main ship, the Santa Maria. Others, of course, were
the Nina and the Pinta.
The Nina and the Pinta. Officials said there was an issue with the pumps, and it started taking on water, and then, shloop, gone.
So I'm just going to have to tell you that I'm a little offended, and I only celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day because Columbus was a colonizer who, you know, took land from other people, and I'm a little offended that you're talking about that. You know what's interesting, though, along those lines? Trump just did this declaration saying it's back to Columbus Day. So I look at my, you don't have an iPhone, but on my Apple calendar today, because they list holidays.
What does it say?
It says both. It actually says both.
Oh, hang on. Let me go in.
It says Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. So I think they adjusted that.
To just try to make it.
You know, my big concern was, is there trash collection today?
Oh, was
and there? Was, okay. Yeah, there was in my neighborhood.
Some is what? Government off today?
I don't get
I don't
it.
Know. Like post office?
My daughter has school today. But my son, who's a teacher in Chicago, remember I told you,
right,
he said,
right.
I get Indigenous Peoples Day, and I just kind of laughed under my breath because it's called an Indigenous Peoples Day.
My foreign phone just says Columbus Day.
Look at that. Uh-huh. Apple, more on top of it.
I don't know who that is.
No,
I'd
probably go with the foreign phone. You're right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All
fair
right.
enough.
Just let's see. On this day in history, 233 years ago, it was 1792, and the cornerstone of the White House was laid. That is 233 years ago today. Now, the White House was designed by James Hoban. It was first occupied by... anyone? Anyone? Fred, you got anything?
Marty Adams.
No.
John Adams, that's right.
Oh.
It's a pretty good name to throw out there.
Yeah.
John Adams was its first resident. And then a little music for this. 41 years ago today, it's 1984, and this song hit number one.
Stevie Wonder.
No New Year's Day to celebrate.
This was a number one, huh?
Yeah, I feel like we heard it every 5 minutes in 1984. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where I couldn't listen to it for a while. I'm just now coming back and thinking, okay, all right.
It's an okay song, but I mean, yeah, when you put it in the grouping of great Stevie Wonder songs, not amongst my favorite, probably.
Totally agree with that. But it's number one, so we celebrate it.
Hey, can I just take you really quickly back?
Because
you didn't give me a gap on the thing with the White House. And I don't, Fred, I don't know if you've heard
about
this.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. But I don't know much about it. I just saw a reference to it today. You see how Trump wants to bring like an arch to Washington, D.C. for the 250th anniversary? Not
no.
like we
Wait,
have.
What?
Okay, yeah, okay. Like more of a, like, imagine Arc de Triomphe. Or
oh,
what they have in
nice.
New York, right? So he's not talking about an arch like St. Louis, but he wants to put on a small patch of federal land a new monument, a triumphal arch to celebrate the 250th anniversary. So I don't know where that's going to go, but it's an idea.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Yeah, not sure. It's just they were asked some questions, even though this kind of leaked out, the White House not saying anything. But here's the image. You can see, I mean, it really does look like it's a smaller version of the big circle by the Arc de Triomphe in Paris.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I'm not sure where he would.
Looks like it's straight shot down from where the White House is.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to the White House in ever. I've driven past it, but I've never gone in on a tour. Have you?
Yeah.
Is it good? Should I do it?
Oh, it's great.
Oh, I think it's good.
It's worth it. We were in the White House at the point when they were taking President Obama's dog out.
Oh,
for a walk.
Gosh.
So
Fred.
We had to all get to the sides of the walls. So they had a clear path to take the dog outside.
Okay, I think it's worth doing.
Oh, yeah. It's
you know,
really
it
nice.
Puts things into perspective. It's like one of those things, a little bit like Graceland, where you're like, oh, it's not quite as big as.
Oh, Graceland
know,
was a shock to me. You're right.
You know, you want to hear a Gateway Arch story?
Yeah.
I have a friend, Tom, who is a bellman at a local hotel downtown. And there were two people from out of town that came in and said, hey, we're so excited. We're going to go up in the arch.
Oh.
When they came back, he said, well, how was it? And she said, it was great, but we thought the arch was made out of concrete. It's like,
Well, that's
really?
Something.
Yeah, isn't that? That's kind of weird.
Does people actually look at that?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's weird.
That is weird because this would be made out of.
Like on
concrete.
The outside? Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think. That'd be a little crumbly after a while.
That's what I was saying. You'd need Morelli Tuck pointing, I'd say that.
Diane Keaton passed away on Saturday, and she was 79 years old. A friend told People magazine that her death was unexpected and that her health had declined rapidly in recent months. And, quote, in her final months, she was surrounded only by her closest family, who chose to keep things very private. Now, she rose to fame in the 70s on The Strength of the Godfather, which I find that all men love, but you two are,
I love The Godfather.
I'm,
no, wait, I'm, really?
Yeah.
I'm in the camp that says The Godfather 2 is probably better, but I love both of those films.
And, of course, she had so many collaborations with Woody Allen, who also gags me out. But I understand that of the time, that's
Sleeper,
the thing.
Sleeper, Manhattan, Looking for Mr. Goodbar,
yes.
Annie Hall, of course. Yeah.
That got her a Best Actress Oscar and made her a fashion icon, I guess, for those suits that she wore and the hat. But by all accounts, but from her friends, she was just a delight. And
she always kind of had, you know, she's one of those actresses that, and I'm kind of looking at the front of the movie covers right now. She always had a smile on her face, it seemed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her other films, the one I loved, of course, was Father of the Bride. Something's
really
Gotta Give. She was in that.
Was that the one,
Mr.
Jack Nicholson?
Goodfell. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I love that.
She was also, here's what I didn't know. She bought and renovated homes and even wrote a book about it called The House That Pinterest Built. Which I might actually get at the library. That's kind of interesting. She had two adopted children, a son and a daughter. She never married, but she did date Woody and Warren Beatty and Al Pacino.
She was in, you know, the Justin other movie Trudeau. I was going to mention, and this is, I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie because it's like a 3-hour movie, but I loved it from the early 80s, Reds with Warren Beatty.
He directed
that movie.
I never saw that. Yeah. What was it?
Well, I couldn't even tell you the damn story right now because it's set in Russia. And I just remember that was also, I think, pretty heavily nominated for awards. I don't remember. But yeah, it makes sense that she was with Warren.
Francis Ford Coppola, who directed her in Godfather, called her endlessly intelligent and so beautiful. Can anybody remember the name of the movie she did where she did baby food and had a kid on her own? Whatever movie. They used to show that on Channel 11 all the time. I can't think of it. It'll come to me. Well, here's an important story. A new report looked into which vehicles birds poop on the most.
Mine.
I think that movie is called Baby Boom.
That's it.
Yeah, that
Baby
was it.
Boom.
Just called Baby
Thank
Boom.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, apparently it isn't totally random, Fred. According to the report, birds tend to hit brown vehicles the most.
Well, there you go.
There it is. It's followed by red and black. White and silver cars ranked the lowest. And this is because researchers say birds detect ultraviolet light and have enhanced color vision compared to humans. So darker colors might stand out more and seem like prime targets. Also, shiny surfaces can act like mirrors and they like to see themselves. So
poop?
I guess territorial birds may think their reflection is a rival, leading to repeated attacks on the same vehicle. So maybe they don't like themselves as much as they think they see a rival and attack it. And that's why it may seem that birds always target you right after you get it clean. It's because it's shiny and they think, oh no, there's a rival. Attack, attack, poop, poop, poop. You can write that down.
That almost sounds like a random fact, too.
Yeah, it almost did. But brands-wise, Ram is supposedly the number one most bird pooped on. Jeep is second, followed by Chevrolet, Nissan, Dodge, Kia, Tesla, Audi, Ford, and Subaru.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know who studies that.
Who spends time doing that?
And why? I have no idea.
What's your gig? Well, I'm a bird poop expert, and I determine, you know, mathematically and statistically how many birds poop on cars.
I have no idea why. All right, and finally in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Alley-oop started as a football term. It was used in 1957 to describe a play where the quarterback would throw the ball up high and another player would jump to catch it. Basketball started using the term, but not until 2 years later.
Fascinating.
Bizarre.
That one makes sense, though.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. Uh-huh. Now we just call those a Hail Mary, I guess.
Yep.
Thank you, Sue. Paul Morrow's coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The hostages are back. The hostages are back. It is a good feeling. Isn't that nice to say? You know, I just said the hostages. First time I said the hostages are back. My personality actually is all about stopping wars, and it seems to work. Seems to work.
You know, I've had my criticism over the years of Trump and, you know, his behavior, et cetera. But I genuinely believe that he wants to stop the killing of thousands, tens of thousands, if not millions of people across the planet right now in these ridiculous wars. And it looked like this is a big step toward that. Paul Morrow is with us this afternoon, Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector. He's the founder of the opsdesk.org. What a day, Paul Morrow. A huge day. That was a very jubilant President Trump earlier today.
You know, the Middle East, and first of all, thank you for having me. The Middle East has a way of dampening spirits and exploding hope and ambition. But I think this time we may actually be seeing the real deal. Now, look, let's manage expectations. There are plenty of hurdles still to overcome. But What Trump very rarely gets credit for is diplomacy. And his diplomacy is very real politic, which is he doesn't expect soaring rhetoric and high-minded ideals to necessarily move things on the ground. He understands that the art of diplomacy is reaching people's self-interest. And in this case, I haven't seen anything like this since the original Desert Shield under Bush and with Jim Baker going around the world to put together that coalition. The coalition that he managed to put together here, appealing to their self-interest, and I'm talking about places like Turkey and Egypt, all of these places, getting them on board to isolate Hamas is historic. And that's why I think this one has a shot.
How about Tony Blinken trying to take claim for this and President Biden? Do you see that?
I did. There are some things that are so laughable.
I know.
They probably don't really require comment. This is one of them. Blinken, I think, is going to go down as a footnote. And I can't think of any major foreign policy initiative that he did that matters. And so forget them.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. I've gotten in this habit recently just because I know how, you know, different some of the coverage is on CNN versus Fox, et cetera. So in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I started sampling. I leave here at 6 o'clock, Paul. I like to listen to Laura, but I've been sampling CNN a little more just to see what kind of nonsense they're spreading. And this might be an interesting night to see what the tone is, because they may be forced to say something nice about the foreign policy of this administration. I don't know. They'll find a way out of it, though, right?
Yeah, they will. Although you got to remember that even Hillary Clinton, who, if there is anybody whose aspirations were stepped on by the unexpected rise of Donald Trump, it's her. Even she had to give credit where it's due here. And let's just be clear. The real import of this is that it is the beginning. And if you can use this lever, let's remember why 7 October happened. It was that Hamas felt themselves becoming isolated because the Trump administration was very close to getting the Saudis under the Abraham Accords, recognizing a normalizing relationship with Israel. Right now, the biggest player that's under Abraham is the UAE. It's historic, but the Saudis had a toe in that water. If you can now use this, and I think that's where he's going, to get the Saudis in, you're likely going to get the Egyptians in after that or as part of that. And then the world's your oyster, because then you can get everybody surrounding Israel. You get Syria, you get Lebanon. All of a sudden, we are at a place that Israel has literally never been since its founding. Will there be acrimony? Will there be outbreaks? There will. You still got the West Bank and the issue of East Jerusalem. But the stabilization of getting all of those people to recognize, yes, Israel's here. We may not love it, but it's here and we recognize it. You know, my father, rest in peace, used to say, if only they would stop fighting and marry Arab resources, Arab oil, with Israeli know-how and business savvy and technical savvy. They got a very, very vibrant Silicon Valley in Israel. That common market would be a world-class player, and nobody there would need America. And if they can get out of their own way and do that, you're seeing the birth of an entire, I hate to say it, but a genuine new world order.
Wow, it'd be great if that could happen. You alluded to this a few moments ago. We've been around this enough to know that these things sometimes don't hold. And, you know, Hamas is going to be asked to demilitarize. I don't know what is the, you know, likely successor to lead the government. There's a lot of challenges, to your point, Paul, that though they still have. Let's talk a little American politics here. Letitia James apparently is going to be at a big rally tonight. Maybe you'll be there, too, for Zohran Mamdani in New York City. Her first appearance since she was indicted on these federal charges of bank fraud and making a false statement. So here's some of the things she said in the past about President Trump.
I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president.
You're going to definitely assume we're going to be a real pain in the
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
Now on her charges.
This is nothing more than a continuation of the president's desperate weaponization of our justice system. These charges are baseless. And the president's own public statements make clear that his only goal is political retribution at any cost.
Okay, Paul, so there's multiple angles on this one, as usual, as well. There's the political angle, there's the, you know, the Trump connection and all this stuff and the accusations that she makes. And then there's the reality of whether or not these charges are legit and they can get a conviction. But let's start there, because you're always a good expert on this. On the charges that have been filed, the mortgage fraud, I've heard some people say, look, this might be tough to prove. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it depends on what charges they go with, and let's stay within the four corners of the indictment as it stands, because there's a very good chance at some point you're going to get a superseding indictment which expands upon the current indictment. But as it stands right now, what it says, it's very simple. You don't have to be a lawyer to read this thing. It's entirely comprehensible. It says that she got the loan under the auspices, signing on the dotted line, notarizing, that the house was going to be a second home exclusively for her. That is to say, it was not going to be an investment property. She then installed a family member who paid her rent, reportedly her niece, and it was therefore an investment property. And here's where her trouble comes. On her tax returns, she claimed it as an investment property, and in fact took write-offs relative to repairs and upkeep for that property. By her own logic, this is internally inconsistent. You got a loan at a lower rate because it wasn't going to be an investment property, and then you claimed it on your taxes that it was an investment property. Which is it? Is it mortgage fraud or is it tax fraud? Either one of them is trouble for her. Seems to be that they went with the mortgage fraud and the lying to a federal agency. But let's remember something. There's this issue of whether or not she claimed it as a primary residence, which is what she had originally signed on and under the power of attorney she put in. This is where it gets very legalistic. But bottom line is, the reason that's an issue is that's not here. That's not in the indictment. It says secondary home for you only, not a primary residence. So you got to say to yourself, why did DOJ decide to jettison the use of her claiming it as a primary residence? Because that is the biggest contradiction here. How could the Attorney General of New York claim a Virginia property as her primary? And my theory, and this is only a theory, but my theory on that is the following. If they went with that as a primary, then it implicates the bank and the loan officer. You're going to have to pay to the loan officer. You approved a federal loan to the New York State Attorney. So what that tells me is they flipped the bank. They flipped the loan officer. And they're going to have at least one very compelling, who probably was in the grand jury. Grand jury minutes are secret, so we don't know. But if it ever gets to trial, and I think it very well might, there's one of your witnesses.
Yeah, look, that's a good theory.
Interesting.
I know it's just a theory, but I understand kind of the path you're going down. And then with her, with Mamdani, I think even at some point she said he was going to be third choice on her ballot. But obviously everyone's jumping on this bandwagon because it looks like it's going to happen in New York City, doesn't it, in a few weeks?
Yeah, it does. We'll go full socialist, you know, and he's doomed to fail. And, you know, normally I say, look, let's give the guy a chance. I did that with Eric Adams. But a lot of what he's talking about is blatantly illegal. Like, for instance, he's saying, I'm going to freeze all rents. He can't do that. He doesn't have that power. So, you know, he's making promises he literally cannot keep. That's going to become apparent very quickly. The landlords are going to drag him into court. He's going to lose. And, you know, you're going to already, right from the outset, he's setting himself up for failure. So never mind all the other stuff about defunding and all that. Supposedly he's had this come to Jesus moment where he realizes we do need police. Understand, this is a guy who has literally said, aside from seizing the means of production, all the other communistic things that he has said, he's literally said, we don't need police and we don't want or need prisons. The level of naivete encapsulated in this guy is completely off the charts. And as a result, all his old statements are going to come back to haunt him because none of them can work. He's not going to be able to do it. My prediction, he'll be a one-term president. He's too much even for this town. And let's hope we get somebody on the other side that can bring us back to relevance.
Yeah, it's very easy to leave. I'm in the camp of burn it down. Let New York get what they deserve here and then see if you can rebuild it.
Yeah, because you don't
live
here.
Well, I know. But I'd like to visit. I'd like to visit again. It's been about 6 years. It's just sad. And I can't believe the amount of support that this guy is getting and the, you know, the lack of attention to some of the craziness. One last question, because I'm asking kind of a lot of the guests this. I'm going to have Sean Spicer on soon. What are your thoughts on the Barry Weiss CBS story? You think it results in any of the evening of the playing field with some of these networks, or are we getting our hopes up too much?
I think she's got to put her helmet on. It's going to come down to her managerial ability and her toughness. And from what I hear, at the very least, she's quite tough.
Mm-hmm.
Look, she was willing. She's got standards. She left, she did the Times and started her own thing, which just took off. That kind of thing doesn't happen by accident. So if she can get in there and turn the place around a little bit, maybe I can actually, make a deal with myself and watch that network again for something other than football. And maybe I can actually tune into something like 60 Minutes, which I've learned to completely distrust.
So have we.
But yep. She is going to have – there is a deep state there that, boy, is she going to have to hammer away at that. I wish her Godspeed. She sent out one memo saying just, essentially, tell me what you do so I can get a feel for the place. And the union stepped in and said, don't answer this. And they're all melting down.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Show you what that? She's up
yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. They're so sensitive. It's going to – I hope people start walking off and, take your little principled stand and go elsewhere. That's what I would say. Paul Morrow, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Check out theopstest.org. Frank Cusimano from KSDK visits with us in this very time frame every Monday and Friday. He's with us right now. How are you, Frank? Hope you had a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Well, I'm doing okay. I saw a very competitive game. Ethan Hannaford, who went to his first Mizzou football game, enjoyed it a little bit more than I. Here's what I said, Frank. Look, I think they were out-coached, they were out-quarterback, they sucked on special teams, there were all these things that went against them with calls, there were mistakes, and even with all of that, we could have won that game.
Yeah, a lot of times when we get our hopes up, when Mizzou plays a really good team, Mark, and then we get beat pretty bad, and we look at the game, we think, you know what, they're just better. That was not one of those games. We got a lot of dudes on defense. We got a lot of athletes. There's a reason why Drink said this is the best team he's ever had. That game was so winnable. And there's just so many things when you look back, like Ahmad Hardy only touching the ball 12 times, like the great tight end Brett Norfleet only catching 3 balls, like not throwing the ball downfield. But in the end, let's face it, Ty Simpson is a Heisman Trophy candidate. He may win the award, and Bo Prabula did not have his best day at the office. That's the difference in the game.
Well, and I knew it might be. I talked about Ty Simpson last week because I had seen him play, and that kid is really talented. But on the Ahmad Hardy front, and on some, Ethan and I were talking about this earlier, in the run game that just disappeared at the end of the game, it didn't make sense.
No, it didn't, because as we talked all week last week about how Alabama's run defense has been gashed by Florida State, by Georgia, by Vanderbilt. They were very vulnerable. Your best player is Ahmad Hardy. Make no mistakes about that. And for him to only have 12 touches, I don't know. It was just a bad day at the office by the Missouri game plan.
Frank, you mentioned Bo Prabula and his struggles, or maybe it was Mark that did, but it was clear that he did have some issues throwing downfield. This was the biggest test that he has had in his career up to this point, in my personal opinion, and he's going to have some more tests down the road. Are you concerned about Bo Prabula's ability to be able to throw against these top-tier defenses?
I will say this. That was his sixth career start.
Sure.
And Alabama, who knows, may end up winning the national championship.
True.
I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he makes, he maybe doesn't see the field as quickly as others, and that's why he makes these mistakes. But I'll tell you what, he had a move on that touchdown. I'd recommend, if you have it on tape, to watch that thing. That looked like Allen Iverson. I mean, he broke an ankle. He's an unbelievable athlete. He just has to make better decisions, including on that last play where I think he had Johnson wide open. He had Norfleet open. But, quarterbacks make mistakes. I think he's a good one, though.
Where was Kevin Coleman in that game at all?
He got hurt.
Okay.
He twisted his ankle, and they pulled him, and he was basically a non-factor.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because that kid is so talented. And then the stupid taunting call at the beginning, that just, you can point to several different things. The fake punt, I liked. I still think we got the first down. It was unfortunate. However, let me say this, just to look positive, because I always like to do that, Ethan. I look at the positive side.
Yeah,
you know what took the sting out of that defeat as I got back into town on Saturday evening? The Cubs being eliminated from the postseason, Frank. That took some of the sting out for me. My apologies to my Chicago fans out there, but I was happy with the Brewers moving on. And they play tonight, don't they?
Yeah, boy, it just sets up, one of the most intriguing series I can remember. The team that spends all that money to get the best players all over the world. against a team that drafts and develops, makes a few trades, and they scrap and they fight. I mean, this is really, I can't think of a better matchup in a league championship series.
By the way, Toronto was down to Seattle. I think it was 3-0 at one point. Yeah. They're only in the second inning, and the Blue Jays have tied it up. So it's 3-3 Mariners and Blue Jays right now in that first game today.
Frank, I got to ask you, sticking with baseball, I mean, the baseball world shocked today with Mike Schilt announcing his retirement. How are you processing this? What are you hearing about this in this situation?
Well, I just texted with Mike about an hour ago, and he said something like, it just takes a toll trying to win 90 games and get to a World Series with all the pressure. It's an interesting career, because when you think about it, when he was here in St. Louis, he had a higher winning percentage than Red, Tony, and Whitey. He's gone after 4 years. It's one of the greatest mysteries in my 3 decades of covering sports in St. Louis, why Mike Schilt was fired. He goes to San Diego, and he has the highest winning percentage in the history of the Padres. He takes them to back-to-back postseasons for the first time in 2 decades, and now he's gone. It was an unbelievable career, but not a long one.
Well, but he also probably made a lot of money for his retirement in the last. I mean, seriously, he was never a guy that got a huge contract until he was a manager, and he probably got a lot of money that he would never have had if he did not have those opportunities. The other thing that's weird today, kind of going back to football, isn't Penn State freaking out of their minds for firing James Franklin?
It seems crazy because they've had one at least 10 the last 3 years, and the buyout is so insane.
Yes.
It's between $45 and $55 million to have this very successful coach go away. With that said, you've become the first coach in the history of football to be a 20-point favorite in back-to-back weeks and lose. I still think that they should have waited, and I don't understand.
Well, you got some boosters, I think, that were pretty upset, and they're like, we're ready to move on. Frank, thanks. Have a great week. We'll talk on Friday.
Sounds great.
All right, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.